Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
WTIC, Adam East Hartford. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Todd, regarding the food, I found a cheap sandwich at Burger King, a little chicken wrap, but there's not much in it. But I did want to comment that you were right. There was an Arby's in Chicopee, and all I got was a chicken sandwich, fries, and a Jamocha shake, and it was $16 for the meal, brother. Come on, man.
Come on, man. What is a Jamocha shake? Is that like a Joe Biden shake?
No, it's got a little bit of coffee, a little bit of chocolate, and a little bit of chocolate dribbled on it, and whipped cream.
Yeah, that's probably what drove up the cost there, Adam.
Yeah, crazy though, huh?
It's amazing, but I hear that stuff all the time. I hear it all the time. Fast food is going fast, out of control. 860-522-9842. Thank you, Adam. Rant line number 860-751-4698. Rant line comes up in about an hour. We start playing those things. Yep, a lot of fun coming your way, and we're doing it right now too. Let's find out how the ride home is going. We've got some critical information for you, and Mark Christopher's the guy who has it in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Hey, Mark.
It's Todd Feinberg. It's Todd Feinberg. Monday through Friday, 3 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC. All right. One other story I wanted to run by you. There's a young woman from Glastonbury. She's 19, and she's part of a lawsuit being filed against social media companies like Instagram and TikTok because she used to be a successful athlete, I think her story is, and she says she couldn't do anything because of her addiction to social media. So she's suing the social media companies. It seems to me that this is a failure of parents to protect their kids. Isn't that how we should look at it? As opposed to saying it's the business's fault? What do you think? 860-522-9842. Fred in Middletown. Hello, Fred.
Hello. So I'm calling to put some wind in Don from East Hartford's sail. the narrative he laid down is it's 100% valid. It's not the whole story. It doesn't cover the whole picture. But anyway, there's a song called Cops of the World by Phil Oakes. I'm sure you've heard it, but you probably don't need it. It basically tells that story real quick. We own half the world. Oh, say, can you see? In the name of our prophets is democracy. So like it or not, you'll have to be free. We're the cops of the world. On the domestic scene, in other words, it's been happening to the white boy, too. And please stay off the grass, boys. Please stay off the grass. And here's a kick in the ass, boys. Here's a kick in the ass. We'll smash down your doors. We don't bother to knock. We've done it before. So why all the shock? We're the biggest and the toughest kids on the block. And, you know, basically just about our foreign policy. And Phil Oakes, of course, hung himself in 1975, but I bet even money he was suicided. But, yeah, if Don wants to get some really quick, clever, cliches ways to say that, study Cops of the World by Phil Oakes, yeah.
But why, there was no Cop of the World before us, I don't think. And that's why we had World War One and World War Two. So I share a suspicion of our power and how we push it out into the world and how we have like 500 bases around the world. I think that's bad and we should pull back. But at the same time, we are responsible for, I think, for not having a follow-up world war.
Well, if I may, that's a narrative too. I would say that... everybody's got a rap, and we're just the latest, greatest, now the most, you know, the recent empire. We've had our 100 years, now China is next. That was just our rap. You know, I mean, Britain was, like, doing all the good in the world, and, you know, I mean, yeah, when people go in and, I mean, someone comes to America, and they go, and there was all this land just sitting there doing nothing, you know, and we did something with it. It's like, well... You know, there was something happening there. You know?
Well, not much. What was the population of the country before we came? Do you know?
I mean, you counting squirrels and beavers? And, I mean, you know, yeah, what's our goal here? You know.
Well, it's not about our goal. It's about what is going to happen to the planet anyway, is as people start expanding and start moving into areas that haven't been utilized.
Oh, the anthropocentricity.
Yeah, well, that what I'm saying is that's a default. That's what's going to happen when people are around. So,
well, yeah,
you're not going to have the United States of America sit empty with a couple million people inhabiting it, or whatever it was a couple hundred years ago, 300 years ago. That's not going to last forever.
Yeah.
So somebody's got to occupy Middletown. Why not Fred?
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Well, that's all I got. Bye-bye.
See ya. 860-522-9842. Look, I agree with Fred on some level, and I agree with Don on some level, but we've got to balance things out. We've got to look at all the different sides, which is what I try to do with all the arguments in politics. How can we look at Americans and say, we're the root of all evil? We have power, so you can say yes, because America is the most powerful nation on earth. It does the most bad around the world. And I guess that's true because we're the biggest actor on the planet. But would you rather have us in charge of the world, or would you rather have China in charge of the world? Would you rather have Russia in charge of the world or us? And that doesn't let us off the hook for the evil we've done, but it does provide some perspective to the, because America is the most powerful nation, it's the worst nation. You know, that's all I want to say about that. You have any thoughts on that? 860-522-9842. I'm not into America bashing. I'm into being realistic about things. If it's not us, it's somebody else who's in charge. Doesn't mean we can't do a better job. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't do a better job, but we also shouldn't be just, the one you throw all the accusations at, because we're the ones maintaining the order. Whoever is maintaining order is the bad person. Isn't that how it works in the world? So this story, this young woman, Caroline Koziol, K-O-Z-I-O-L, her eating orders were so severe she was only able to attend two classes a day for 6 months during her senior year at Glastonbury High School so she could be treated for her addiction to social media. Toward the end of her senior year, a couple of years ago, she relapsed and went into a residential treatment program in New York, causing her to take a gap year instead of going straight to college. Sounds like she needed a gap year. In a lawsuit, Koziel, now 19, places much of the blame for these problems on an addiction to Instagram and TikTok. She has joined hundreds of people around the country who are suing the platforms and their corporate parents. But how about suing their actual parents instead of the corporate parents? What do you think about that? During an interview last week, Koziel estimated she was 10 or 11 years old when she lied about her age and opened her first Instagram account, which she admits was against her parents' wishes. Okay, so parents made rules, didn't enforce the rules. And that apparently is Mark Zuckerberg's fault. What do you think?
So many of my friends at school had accounts already, and so I felt very left out and ostracized because everybody else had one, so I needed to have one too.
Oh, and how about having schools that educate and have expectations of performance? If kids never have any squeeze in their lives, if they're never caught between a rock and a hard place because nobody has any expectations of them, but that they're going to sit around and play on computers all day, what do you expect is going to happen? 860-522-9842. Doc in Harwinson. Hi, Doc.
A couple of things. First, I hope we don't do as much good as England supposedly did, because they were rather atrocious when they were taking over the world. But more importantly, I agree with you on that. It should be the parents' responsibility, not the corporations. I mean, blaming an addiction on the company that makes the product makes very little sense to me. Where's the guidance from the family about what's right and wrong and what you should and shouldn't do? And
is the job of raising a kid to give them a computer and then leave them unattended for the rest of their lives? Because that seems to be the way that we raise kids now.
And it shouldn't be. I mean, everybody wants to start out as friends with their kids. My goal was always to be a parent first, and then as I got older, I became a friend.
I don't even know if it's that they want to be friends. I think they just don't want to be bothered. It's really hard work to be a parent, isn't it?
Yeah.
So people don't want to do the hard work.
Yeah.
You see families now in restaurants and what they do with their, like, they've got a 2-year-old at the table and they take the smartphone or the kid's iPad and prop it up, and the kids are glued to it for a couple of hours, and occasionally they give them a spoonful of food. Is that right?
Or you have the other thing where the parents are on the smartphones and the kid is trying to get their attention and acting like a brat.
That too.
You know, it's just out of control.
And making noise and disturbing all the other diners, and the parents don't do anything. They just sit there and laugh like it's funny that the kid's screaming and ruining everybody's time.
My daughter took a practice that I have. At dinner time, it's a no-phone zone.
I like it.
And she does that with her kids, and it's amazing how many conversations we're able to have.
Well, and that's what is needed. You know, it's not just an innocent thing on the side. It's an important thing that should be front and center. Conversations are critical.
They are. It's how they learn.
Yes. Doc, thank you for the call. It's good to hear from you.
Take care.
Appreciate it. 860-522-9842. Doc with a little wisdom for you. What do you think? Thank you, sir, for the call. Gio calling from Canton. Hello, Gio.
Oh, how's it going?
What's happening?
Nothing much. I just wanted to talk about the TikTok thing and kind of make.
Well, please do. How old are you?
I just turned 22 yesterday.
Okay, good. We're going straight to the source. How many hours a day do you spend on TikTok?
My family and I actually keep track. TikTok, not so much. It's Instagram, but at this point, it's basically the same thing. They're both reels that young kids scroll through every day. But the main point that I wanted to get was that I think it's pretty stupid that they want to They want to sue the actual parent company and not, you know, blame the parents, like you said, because if you can compare the app to a drug, right? Let's say TikTok is alcohol. Your parents tell you not to drink alcohol, right? But you end up doing it, and then you do it over and over again.
Yeah.
At this point, are you gonna sue the? You can't sue alcohol. You can't sue the beverage. It's your fault at that point. You know.
I guess you could sue the companies that make it, but I don't know. It's interesting. That's a good analogy because I don't think any court would have patience with that. Because alcohol's been ruining so many lives for so many years that people just have to decide how to deal with it and find a way and be strong and overcome it. And I believe the same thing is true with social media, that we've just it used to be parents parented. You wouldn't remember this, Gio, because you're too young. But really, a family took care of itself, I think,
mm-hmm.
50 years ago. And it's more like the parents have just left the doors unlocked and anybody
just
can come
given
in.
Up.
And,
yeah, they've just yeah. given up parenting. And I have a cousin that my parents have taken in for a little bit because of, you know, some family issues.
Mm-hmm.
And when he first came, he's 2-3 years old. All he would do is get stuck to his iPad. And the stuff he was watching was pure brain rot. You know, it looked like he was just losing his attention span. So when he stayed over our house for a couple of months, we immediately got him off of the electronics. And
really?
Now, you know, he's speaking, he's doing everything a normal kid should do. But then we go back to his house that we had fostered him from,
yeah.
And they just give him the iPad. And you know, it's because of broken homes and families and such that kind of I feel like. The parent companies kind of take advantage of when they want to get the attention of their users so they can get, you know, more people on their platform. I don't know. It's a very messy situation, but the parents are really, really just fine with just giving their kids electronics in replace of a babysitter, you know.
Gio, are you a regular listener?
Yep. Yes. Every once in a while when I can.
Well, that's good. Thank you for doing it. And thank you for calling. It's great to hear from you. What kind of work do you do? What are you doing in your life right now?
I am an electrical apprentice.
Oh, so you called a couple times before.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I remember you. So how come you're only listening once in a while when you can? I imagine you bringing your boombox to the work site and forcing everybody else to listen.
Yep. Yeah, no, it varies, you know, that really depends on which journeyman I work with. It's either I listen to Joe Rogan Experience
in
the morning, or I listen to
the
1080,
yep.
Or I'm by myself and I just listen to music.
Well, it's great to hear from you. I was wondering what happened to you because it's been a few months since you called. So thank you for, so thanks for checking in and please do it again soon, okay?
No problem. Bye-bye.
Nice to hear from you. That's Gio, the journeyman. There used to be a band called The Journeyman. I don't know any songs they did, though. I can't remember. That was like in the 50s or 60s or something. Anybody know The Journeyman? 860-522-9842. I don't know what they did. Roland knows everything about music, but he's not looking like he knows The Journeyman. I'm going to look it up quick. The Journeyman. Okay, putting it in. Talk amongst yourselves. The Journeyman Musical Trio. That must be them. Oh, they were a folk trio. They look like such complete dorks. And they're leaning over in the photograph of them playing their instruments, like trying to create a little action, you know? Because what's exciting about folk singers? Martin Mull, you remember Martin Mull? He was a stand-up, and he had a line about folk music. He said, remember folk music? Can you imagine? That crap almost caught on. That's how I always felt about folk music. 860-522-9842. We're going to get a news update. Then we'll talk to Tim and maybe you. What do you think? BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Mark Christopher used to be a folk singer, but then he decided to make a living.
Yeah, it wasn't very profitable, Todd. That's for sure. But I sat around all day and smoked some weed and just tried to strum on my guitar. It just didn't quite work out financially.
Miss something?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the Todd Feinberg Show, don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, Lordy, WTIC, Tim in Berlin's been waiting a long time. Thanks for your patience, Tim.
How are you, Todd?
What's happening?
Not too much. So I was just piggybacking on, you know, your last couple callers about the, you know, the use of iPads and, you know, technology with the kids sitting in front of them. And
yes, sir.
Having a six-year-old, well, she's my stepdaughter, you know, it's tough, you know, especially after COVID. Now, a lot of the kids, you know, with the schooling, staying at home, they sent them home with iPads or, you know, however they did it. And it didn't help the situation, but, you know, I get it. It is very easy to, you know, throw the kid in front of an iPad or a TV screen and walk away for, you know, 45 minutes so you can get something done. But,
yes.
It's definitely a problem, you know. I think it really messes with their attention when it comes to, you know, focusing. But yeah, very interesting conversation.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you're enjoying it, and I'm glad you decided to call and comment. 860-522-9842. Jeff in Marlboro. Hello, Jeff.
Hey there, Todd. How's it going?
Go ahead, sir. You got a minute.
All right. So I'm driving down Albany Avenue in Hartford Saturday, which I drive down Albany Ave like 3-4 times a week. And there's this group of young kids out there, maybe between 13 and 16, at the stoplight.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all wearing matching sweatshirts that say safety on them. And there might have been a logo. I don't remember.
Yeah.
And they approach cars at the stoplight, and they've got a laminated piece of paper with some talking points on it and a bunch of what looks like little newspapers. So I might need to continue this after the break, but so the kid's talking to me about violence in Hartford, how there's too many murders in Hartford and crime, and I'm saying I can't agree with this young man more. So he tries to solicit a $5 donation out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I say I'm real quick at the stoplight. I don't got time to take out my wallet and all that.
That's a little steep too.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, hey, this is a great idea. I don't know what it's going towards, which
exactly.
I have more time to talk to you. Anyways, so I decline the donation, and then he hands me a publication, and I don't look at it till I get home. It's called The Final Call, published by Louis Farrakhan.
Oh, so okay. Glad you didn't give him the money. So,
and there's,
all right, hang on. You can give us a quick update if you want after we get a little information update here. Traffic and weather together on the 8s. Mark Christopher is the lead man in that duo, BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Hey, Mark.
People.
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
All right, Jeff, I'll give you another minute, but Chris Powell is here, so don't take too long, okay?
Oh, all righty. So I'm starting to read this publication, and obviously we all know Louis Farrakhan, you know. So
yeah, so the kid on the corner at the intersection was trying to get $5 from you, and he was trying to impress you to get the money, and you didn't know that he was trying to get money for Louis Farrakhan, right?
Yeah, under the guise of peace and less violence, and then hands me this newspaper. The first article is U.S. imperialism is at the root of Haiti's turmoil. That's the that's the title of the article. And then they also go into, Louis Farrakhan speaking about what is complete and full freedom, talking about not this foolishness, I'm quoting here, that we're talking about here with our former slave masters and their children. And then goes on to quote from a book published in the late 1960s by Elijah Muhammad. Mm-hmm. We want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. And we believe our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land, and that area must be fertile and minerally rich. And our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. But this is just, they give it under the guise of collecting for nonviolence in the city of Hartford, and then they hand me this garbage.
Well, that's why you can't do drive-by donations, you know? You got to have a conversation.
I just want to warn people about what they said. They're there every Saturday on Albany Ave. So before you give to these people, know what you're given to.
Jeff, thank you for that. Well done. 860-522-9842. Now, before we go to Chris Powell, I just want to play this Journeyman stuff. I pulled it up, and I suspect Chris was a fan. Were you, Chris?
I don't know anything about Journeyman, Todd.
Listen, you remember this stuff? No?
Oh, I don't think they were the first ones to do that song. I mean, there's a lot of folk music back in the 60s.
Oh, yeah, but they had a hit with it in 1961.
Yeah,
I remember it even. I was just a youngster. I was probably as young as you.
Yeah, I was young once too, Todd.
So you wrote a great column, and I can't remember what it was about. Let me check.
All my columns should be so memorable.
Well, no, that's my memory. I forget quickly. So if I go to chrispowellcolumn.com, I know that I will get a great column, and you can tell us what it's about. It was, as you often do, it was a couple of, you know what's funny? I put Christopher Column, and I got Christopher Columbus instead.
No relation. You might have been thinking about the one that got posted today. It was really about the Connecticut's economy really being weak, not strong, and about the trick that the teachers and their...
That was good. Go ahead. Tell that story. Yeah.
Well, there's a proposal or legislation that's come out of the General Assembly's Education Committee. And it probably will get a full vote. It'll probably pass. It's to require that teachers in public schools have a minimum salary of $60,000 a year. It's a $60,000 a year starting salary. That's estimated to be a 25% increase over what is believed to be the average starting salary for teachers in Connecticut, which is believed to be $48,000. And some state funding would be provided for boosting the starting salary to $60,000, but they don't tell you that raising the starting salary here is only a fraction of the real cost of the legislation.
Well, wait a sec. If I'm making 55 grand a year and the people making 45 grand a year get a, or what is it? What's the minimum now? 48?
It's believed to be. It's an average. It's set on the local level.
No, that's the average. So it's that's way higher than the minimum wage is, the starting wage is, because a lot of people have been teaching for 20 years, right?
So yeah, but you're going to make the point that I'm making here, that you can't just raise the bottom, because when the bottom goes up, everybody above it is going to demand more money.
Everybody wants a raise of 20 grand or whatever
it is. Of course, but if the starting salary is going to go up 25%, to $60,000, everybody in the union who's been around for more than a year or two is going to demand a similar 25% raise to keep their position in the pecking order of the schools. And the legislation does not propose to cover that part of the cost. That would be tens of millions of dollars in raises for teachers. And look, maybe the starting salary is too low, but I'm really very skeptical of this whole premise anyway, because the one thing we should have seen since the Education Enhancement Act was passed back in, I guess it was 1984, is that there's only a negative correlation between teacher salaries and student proficiency. It's not a positive correlation.
Wait, are you talking circumstantially, that's your observation, or somebody done research that shows?
Well, it is. We know that student proficiency has been going down steadily for decades, even as teacher compensation has been going up. And I think we can see from this that the correlation we thought was there when the Education Enhancement Act was passed and when the Horton versus Meskel decision was handed down by the state Supreme Court in, I guess, 1977-78, we thought that, if we just put enough money into teacher salaries, student performance will improve, but it didn't. But we're still pursuing this policy, just keep raising teacher salaries in the belief that it'll improve student performance in someday in the future.
It's totally imaginary. So I was reading last week about Pennsylvania and how Governor Shapiro, a new governor there, put out his budget for next year, and he's got in it I think it's a $1.2 billion increase for the Philadelphia schools. And they've got a story about it. It's very interesting with the state of, I know we've talked about it before, but drives home the state of the news coverage or the lack thereof. There were stories on February 6th when this happened, and really nothing since, in a big populous state where they're going to give $1.2 billion extra to the Philadelphia schools, and everyone's just cheering it like it's going to be great. But they set no expectations for what the money's going to be used for. So all they're doing is dumping a new expense that becomes permanent onto the cost of doing business, the same as what you're telling us about Connecticut.
Yeah, I think the important thing to realize now is that educational success is 99% a matter of parenting. It's only 1% a matter of what the schools do and what they spend. And I, say that as somebody who loved his teachers in elementary school and had some good ones in high school and a couple of really tremendous ones in college. And I respect the profession, but it's not what controls education. What controls education is how parents raise their kids. And when you've got like 35-40% of the kids in the country growing up in single parent households, and when in the cities it's 80-90%, the schools are quite a secondary or tertiary influence on the kids.
Yeah, but part of the reason that they're so tertiary is because the schools are so lame. If schools were intense places that had expectations, like you've got to perform or you get bumped down, And if you do perform, you can move ahead. If there was that kind of system, and if there was a system that was more entrepreneurial, you know, more capitalist rather than top down, one size fits all education, and you could be going to a school you could be passionate about because there's a like a FAME Academy and there's a Science Academy and there's all these exciting places filled with vibrance and high expectations. I can't think that better schools would not get better outcomes, even with kids coming from bad homes.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right, because our only consistent policy in public education in Connecticut is social promotion. We have decided that it's going to hurt too many feelings if we have any standards in public education anymore. I mean, everybody who goes to school now knows that he's going to be promoted whether he learns anything or not, and he can go through the whole system, and he's going to get a high school diploma if he can read and write and do math, or if he can't read and write and do math. You know, people are wondering, where is the decline in school attendance coming from? Why are so many students chronically absent? Well, I suspect one reason is they know that they don't have to go anymore. They're going to be graduated anyway.
Well, plus they've got ATVs they need to race.
Yeah, well, look, we really have a comprehensive destruction of standards across society now. You know, it's in criminal justice, it's an education, and social promotion has really demoralized everybody. But I agree with you. If you told kids, look, you got to learn, you got to show you can, you know, do math and read and write, or you're not going to get promoted. Well, you know, some of them might be encouraged to succeed and try, even if they didn't have you know, good parents at home. But
Chris, let's get to the nitty gritty. It's not really because of social promotion. Social promotion is a symptom of government that is evil in the way it executes certain things, and particularly education, where it builds a system designed with it being in charge, and then does things like says we're going to give everybody a huge raise and have no expectations for better outcomes of the schools. And what that is a destruction of the notion of having democratic systems and the idea of having excellence come anywhere near the lives of the kids.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure I'd call it evil. I think it's politically corrupt. Schools no longer have the nerve.
I'll take that, because, you know, it's not that far of a leap to go from politically corrupt to evil. It seems to me if you're willing to build a system and then fight for it every day with distorted logic, then, you know, whatever you want to call it, it's really bad, because what it means is you're putting stealing money ahead of using that money for efficacious results that it's intended. People work hard for that money and they just take it and use it to rig elections.
Well, the system now is so dysfunctional that it has really started to demoralize not just the students but the teachers as well. And we've got so many teachers in Connecticut who are rushing to take retirement. It's been very hard for the city schools to hire teachers because they, you know, demanding combat pay because the behavior in the city schools is so poor. We've just lost the nerve to enforce any standards, and we're going to be paying the price for many years.
That is for sure. And it's also made life miserable for people who have to write about the schools.
Some of us, Todd, live to be miserable.
Chris Powell, visit chrispowellcolumn.com and read all about it. That is the one that caught my attention. And it made me think about that Philadelphia thing. The idea that they would have the gall to propose spending and not build a criteria to make the spending purposeful, and that they get away with that. Our world is just falling apart in every way, Chris.
Well, there's no auditing for results. There's, you know, money is not conditioned on performance anymore. It's conditioned on just keeping the teacher unions happy. That's the system has just forgotten about education. It's just a matter of pleasing the Democratic Party's army, which is the teacher unions.
There you go. That sounds evil to me.
Destroying education.
All right, Chris Powell, I want to put you in a good mood on your way out. You're feeling more calm already, aren't you?
I'm going to go out on my trash walk now and pick up all the nip bottles on my street.
Nip bottles, baby. Go for those things. All right. That's Chris Powell, chrispowellcolumn.com. No wonder Elvis got people so excited, huh? That's all he was up against. Damn. 860-522-9842. We're going to traffic update. We've got rants coming up, and Michael Leibowitz will be here, BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Not Ian Stark anymore. It's Mark Christopher.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.